Got a lot to look forward to this week. I'm excited for Thanksgiving coming around the corner. Big turkey dinner and mashed potatoes. You can't go wrong, right? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we're grateful for all that you've done for us. And Lord, just now as we look into your word, we would ask for your guidance. We pray that your spirit would help us along as we consider your word this morning. I pray that it would impact our hearts, that you would speak to us as your people. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We were once enemies of the cross, enemies of you, enemies of your Son, and you brought us together through your Son, through faith. We thank you for that. In your name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm. Right in the middle of the Bible, one of my favorite books would have to be the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 100. I have found that when I am in despair, when I am anxious, when I am happy, when I need encouragement, one of the very first books that I will turn to is this book right here, the book of Psalms. And what we see in it really is an attitude of gratefulness that is interwoven all throughout this book. In Psalm chapter 100, we see this psalm of thanksgiving. We said this earlier, and I want to read this again. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing, knowing that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." I love this psalm. What a psalm of thanksgiving that we have here in Psalm 100. Before we continue on, I want to look at two observations. I've made two observations concerning this passage of Scripture. The first observation really has to do with God's perspective. The first observation would have to be that as Christians, we ought to have an attitude of gratefulness when we come before him. He desires that for his people. He wants that from us. He's honored by that. Notice with me in verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful singing." And again in verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." What it comes down to is when we consider who God is and all that he has done, he is worthy of our praise. I really believe that he is worthy of our praise. But there's another observation that I'd like to make, and it's not so much concerning him for the second observation as much as it is us. We have every right as God's people, more so I believe, to be the ones who would come before him thankful. Look at verse 3. Notice with me here what the psalmist says. "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." If it was not for God, we would not even exist. He is our source for life. He is the reason why we breathe this morning. If we are going to give thanks, it ought to be to him. Notice with me in verse 3, "It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." We are not the creators of our own selves. We would like to think so. We would like to live our lives for ourselves. Sometimes it can be easy to do that, but in reality, we ought to live it for him. He is worthy of our praise this morning. And that's what we see here in this incredible psalm, is that he is worthy. You know, we've got a lot to give God thanks for. Many of you know this. 2 weeks ago, I shot my first buck and my first doe. Let me tell you, I was very thankful for that. You know, we can give God thanks for all the big things, all the little things, all the simple things in our life. He desires that from us, that we would give those, give that praise to him. There are commands all throughout Scripture to have this attitude of thankfulness. I'd like to look at one in particular, 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me there in the New Testament. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A clear example of this in the New Testament is found in chapter 5, verse 18. I'd like to start by reading verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, And in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for our lives is that we would have this attitude of gratitude. He desires that from us, that we would be able to come before Him and to give Him thanks and to give Him praise. You know, in our society, in our day and age, it really is hard with all the different things that are thrown at us to really just sit down and to meditate on who God is and on all that He has done for us. But in reality, when we start to consider our own situations, everything that is going on in our lives, some of us may have come in here with burdens on our hearts. The one thing that we need to do, that we need to consider, is who He is, don't we? That's exactly what we need to do, and that's what we're going to do this morning. God is our very own source, and I believe that for anyone coming in here, no matter what your concerns are, I believe that we can have an attitude of gratitude this year because of who God is. Regardless of our situations, regardless of what is going on around us, we can have an attitude of gratitude no matter what because of who God is. And so what we are going to do this morning is we are going to look at three attributes of God. Three attributes of God in which we can give Him thanks for. The first attribute of God, the first reason for thanksgiving that we ought to have, we can give God thanks for His sovereignty. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You know, one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture is to know that God is in control. In a world that is apparently upside down, He has got it all under His hand. There is not anything that escapes His eye. God sees it all. He is orchestrating everything out for His glory. That is a powerful thing. In Psalm 115, verse 3, you don't need to turn there. It just says, "But our God is in the heavens, and He does whatever He pleases." When we study out the Bible, it becomes apparent to the human eye that there is a God and that He is in control of everything. He does anything and everything that He wants to. He is God and I am not. You know, the God of this world, being Satan in 2 Corinthians, Paul refers to Satan as the God of this world, went before God Almighty in the book of Job. And even the God of this world was restricted in what He could and could not do. God is the one who is in control. There is nothing that escapes Him. I am thankful for that reality. There are people in Scripture who are thankful for this reality as well. I think that we can have a heart of joy. I believe that we can have a heart of peace when we start to come to grips with the reality that God is the one who is over all, that He has authority over everything, and that He is in control of all things. I want to look to three people who have considered God's sovereignty real briefly. 1 Samuel, turn with me to the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, we see a song of praise by a woman by the name of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. A woman who was barren, she was not able to have children of her own. She was mocked for this. She went before the God, she pleaded with them. She was asking for a child. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, there really is a song of praise that she has in verses 1 through 10. She is praising God for who He is. And notice with me in verses 6 through 10 what she says here. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and He raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. He is the creator of it all, right? Verse 9, He keeps the feet of His godly ones. But the wicked ones are silenced in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king, and will exalt the horn of His anointed. Hannah had the right perspective. She considered, as she was thanking God for all that He had done for her, she considered His sovereignty. But notice with me, when she starts out the song of praise, she doesn't thank God for her son right from the beginning. She doesn't say, "My heart exalts in my son. My heart exalts in answered prayer." But notice what she says here in verse 1 of chapter 2. She says, "My heart exalts in the Lord." She found her praise in God, recognizing that He is her source. What a powerful thing. We see another example of this in Revelation. Turn with me there. Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we see the 24 elders who will stand before the very throne of God. And they fall down before Him. They throw their crowns at His feet. And they worship Him. J. Vernon McGee says this is the first great worship scene which we see in heaven. I want us to notice what they say concerning God. They say, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive honor, to receive glory, and to receive power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Sometimes our feelings can get in the way of this one simple truth. I believe this to be a fact. Our feelings can get in the way of this reality that there is a God and that He is in charge. I was reflecting last month on the choice that God made to communicate to us His Word. And I was looking at this timeline, and I was thinking, and I was talking with my wife Katie about this, you know, what a blessing it is to be living in the 21st century. We have so many luxuries today that a lot of people have not been able to enjoy. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people did not enjoy electricity like what we have today, and I can just go on and on and on and on, couldn't I? What a blessing. But when we start to consider what these 24 elders say, they say, "For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." God was the one who willed it, that we would be living in this day and age, in the 21st century. It is not an accident. We are not stardust. This is not the result of evolution. We are not that result. We are the result of God. There is a purpose for each and every one of us. You walk in here this morning, maybe possibly you're wrestling with purpose in your life. I want to tell you something. You have purpose. God has placed you here for a reason. He has placed us in the 21st century, in our country, in Bark River, for a reason. God has got a purpose. Why, you say? Because He willed it. It was by His will that we were created. What a powerful thing. That brings joy to my life. To consider that. To think about that. That it is because of Him that I am created. Wow. What a powerful thing. What these 24 elders are saying here. As they are worshiping God, they are worshiping Him in truth. They are telling a truth. They are making a truth statement based off of the reality of who God is. God has got the exclusive right as Creator. We need not take that away from Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Again, we see another example of this. The last example I want to turn to. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Many of you are familiar with this man, King David. Verse 11 and 12 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. King David considered the sovereignty of God as well as he was praising the Lord. He says here in verse 11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and You exalt Yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from You, and You rule over all. And in Your hand is power and might, and it lies in Your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone." It blows me away towards the end of King David's life. He was one who had faced many trials. He felt alone many times. But towards the end of his life, he wants to go out praising God. What a powerful thing. Notice with me verse 13. He says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank You and we praise Your glorious name." He takes that magnifying glass and he does not consider humanity. He considers who God is. God is the one who is in control. You know, I believe that we can develop an attitude of gratitude as we recognize this morning. What a reason to give thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father. He is in control. He has authority over everything. We see another reason for thanksgiving, the second attribute that I want to look at this morning. Not only is God sovereign, not only does he have complete authority, but God is holy. We can give God thanks for his holiness. You know, in the holiness of God, we see the separation of holy God and sinful man. This past year, I can't remember if it was this year or last year, my wife and I and my parents, we went to the zoo. And I was thinking about this. I was pretty happy that there was a fence in between me and some of the animals. You know, for some of the fences, no matter what I could do, I could not pass that fence to get into where those animals were located, nor did I want to. The gap between us and God is a lot bigger than a fence. When we start to consider holy God and sinful man, that gap between us and him is a lot greater than a fence at the zoo. Don't get me wrong. We see this all throughout Scripture as well. We see the holiness of God. In the Old Testament, we see this probably a lot more than I believe in the New Testament. We see when God goes to Mount Sinai, he sets up a boundary around that mountain. And for anyone that would cross over that boundary, they would die. Why? Because God is holy and we are not. What about when we take and consider the priesthood of the Old Covenant, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews? Why was there a need for a priesthood to be set up? Because there is a holy God and we are not. When Moses stood before God at the burning bush, what did God say to him? He said, "Moses, remove the sandals on your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And do not the angels say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.' The whole earth is full of his glory." We serve a holy, awesome God this morning. Schaeffer had this to say concerning the holiness of God. One of the greatest theologians, I believe. He said, "The holiness of God is intrinsic, uncreated, and untarnishable. It is observable in every divine attribute and action. It embraces not only his devotion to that which is good, but is also the very basis and force of his hatred for that which is evil." I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and he said something that has stuck in my mind ever since he said it. He said, "If you want to attract a lot of people out to a church, start preaching through the book of Revelation. If you don't want to see too much of an attraction for people to come out, start preaching on the holiness of God and the sinfulness of mankind." You know, Warren Wiersbe accurately stated this. He said, "God is angry at sin because it offends his holiness and violates his holy law. In his holiness, he must judge sinners. But in his love, he desires to forgive them. God cannot ignore sin or compromise with it, for that would be contrary to his own nature and his law. The reality is this: God is no respecter of persons. God is holy. Mankind is not, no matter how much mankind wants to think that he is. There are people who have done some great things in this world. Don't get me wrong. There are some good people here. But they are going to be surprised when they stand before a holy God. There have been people who have been placed in positions of authority on this earth, who have gotten away with some of the most heinous crimes. And they are going to stand before a holy God as well. They will be judged. Don't get me wrong. So you say, well, how can I find thankfulness in this? I would suppose this, that we may not find thankfulness in our position before a holy God, but in his provision, in Jesus Christ, in his holiness, we see the cross. In his holiness, he saw our desperation. He saw our need. He saw that we were enemies of him. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I. What a reason to give thanks, huh? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. In verses 15 through 17, we truly see the gospel here. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Paul understood this reality. He understood that he was a sinner separated from God. He understood his position. Yet for this reason, I found mercy so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. When we start to consider the holiness of God, we see the gospel and it shines through brilliantly. And we can give him thanks and praise because of what he has done for us through his son. You know, there was once a 43-year-old lawyer who lived in the north side of Chicago with his wife and five children. One day in 1871, his only son had died. A few months later, the Great Chicago Fire broke out, completely destroyed all of his life savings. A few years after that, he sent his wife and his four daughters on a boat for a vacation in Europe. He promised them, he was delayed, he said, I will return to you in a few days. On November 22nd, 1873, the ship that they were on, that his family was on, sunk within a matter of 12 minutes. He had been notified that his wife was the only one who had survived. All four of his daughters had died. Spafford went out to the area where his daughters had perished. And he writes some incredible words. This man had an attitude of gratitude when he considered his source. This is what he wrote. He said, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Many of you are familiar with this hymn. It is well with my soul. In the midst of tragedy, Spafford found an attitude of gratitude. He gave praise, he gave thanks to God for all that God had done for him. What a powerful thing. I believe that we have every reason to give thanks this year because of who God is. Which leads me to the third attribute that I believe we can give God thanks for. The third attribute of God in which we can give him thanks for is his truthfulness. God is truth. We can give him thanks for his truthfulness. You know, when it comes to God's truthfulness, there are a number of things that we can give God thanks for. I just have two things noted here. Number one is we can give God thanks for concerning the fact that he is true in his word. Because God is true, his word is truth. His word is completely 100% reliable for your life this morning. His word is truth and it will not lead you astray. His truth we can stake our lives on. On February 7, 2012, a bee exterminator had been on the roof of Wendon Bible Church. Many of you know that Katie and I, before we came here this year, we were interns over at Wendon Bible Church in Wendon, Arizona. And I was the associate pastor there the second year. Attempting to rid the church of a massive beehive, the church caught fire and literally burned to the ground, destroying everything inside. As the associate pastor for the church at that time, my heart broke for the people who had been there for a long time at that church. So as a board, we set out to rebuild what was destroyed. Eventually, blueprints came along for a new church building. After many months, the church was finally coming together. You know, I was thinking about this. Every day, buildings are destroyed through fire. You know what? The Word of God is never going to be destroyed. It has survived the test of time. It is reliable. There is nothing fictional about this book right here. His Word is 100% reliable. And as we come to it, we can have an attitude of thankfulness because He has given this to us. He has given us His Word. You know, those blueprints started coming along for the new church building when we were at London Bible Church. And I was considering those blueprints. Those guys had to make sure they had every measurement right. You know, the Word of God is our blueprints and our instructions for daily living. What a powerful thing. I'm thankful that He has given it to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God communicates to us through this verse. It says that all Scripture is inspired by God. Not just some of it, not just part of it. All of it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God has communicated to us through His Word our starting point. We know who we are. We were created in the very image of God. That gives us value. We know our purpose for today because of this book right here, because of His Word, because He chose, because He willed it, that He would communicate to us in a powerful way. And we also have a hope after this life. We have got an incredible hope, a future to look forward to. I am looking forward to that day when I pass from this earth and I see my Savior. And I'm standing in His presence. What a glorious day that will be. Without the Word of God, I believe there would be a lot of confusion. I believe that there would be a lot of despair. But we can also give God thanks because He is trustworthy. Because God's truth, He is one who can be trusted. The Hebrew author said that it is impossible for God to lie. In Psalm 118, it says it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And progressively, as God revealed His Word all throughout time, promises that He made time and time and time again, which hinged upon Himself, He fulfilled. He always stuck to His Word. And He has proven Himself to be trustworthy. He has proven Himself to be trustworthy in His very Word. There have been numerous authors in Scripture who testify to this fact alone, that God is trustworthy. And there are godly men and women today who testify to this fact as well. Joshua records in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, he says that not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. He is trustworthy this morning. He is trustworthy. He has told us who we are. He has told us what He has done for us. There is great joy in that today, friend. He has proven Himself to be just that trustworthy. You know, in conclusion this morning, there are a lot of things that are going on in our lives. Some things are concerning to us. Maybe this week or year has been particularly harder than the last few. I want to encourage you that no matter what is going on in our lives, we can give and we can have an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness. That can be our heart's cry out of thankfulness because of who God is. This ought not to be an attitude that just comes once a year on Thanksgiving. God desires that this would be an attitude that would overflow from our lives because of who He is, because considering all that He is and all that He has done, He deserves that we would have that attitude every day of the year. Why don't we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. Lord, we thank You that You're sovereign, that You're in control of everything. Sometimes it may seem as though You are not. There are a lot of concerns on our heart. Father, we just give You the praise. We thank You that You are in control of it all. We're thankful that in Your holiness we see the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we see His provision for us. May we have the attitude that Spafford had when tragedy comes and strikes. Lord, to find our strength and to find our hope in You. Lord, we're grateful that You are truthful and that we can stake our lives on Your very Word. We are thankful for Your promises that You've given to us. Lord, I just pray that You would bless our time. I pray that You would bless this week as we head out of this place. May we enjoy a great Thanksgiving time with our family and with our friends. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.